This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, who was a person who did C-Lab. Clint, you're dating us. I think he said 35 years ago with an L8 doctorship. But he's also got bicycles. So he's got this connection to Dr. Ship. He's also in the bicycle world. What got me into riding bicycles in my 50s, yeah, it is Clint and the e-bikes and the e-bike revolution, man. It has been everywhere. And Clint came to me because he said, man, you'll use this to hunt. You know, you'll use this right around the farm. Absolutely have. And I also use it to exercise because it's more fun to ride. Meaning this, like you'd say, okay, if you get a regular bike, not an e-bike, wouldn't you get more calorie burn and all that? Sure you would. Sure you would. And I don't run my e-bike. It's called an eco mode where it just kicks in a little bit. But what happens is that eco mode makes it more fun to ride the bike. So you ride it more days, more hours, and get more exercise. You ride the other bike, you're like, yeah, this stinks. I'm not liking it. And you don't do it. It sits there and becomes a clothes rack. Well, with the e-bike, for me, not only does it help me get around the woods and hunting applications and all that, but it's like a couple times a week during the wintertime and probably four times a week in the spring and summer, I'm riding the bike to get exercise. It's a lot of fun. You need to check it out. Now, I run a Scout from Magnum. That's like the manufacturer and the model I have. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because the selection at Adventure Earth Bicycles, if you're looking for like an on-road e-bike or a hybrid e-bike, something specific to different things, there's a different e-bike for different folks. And right now, too, they got a new shipment of the U-Free e-bikes in. They have the new updated and more powerful motor and battery. New display, even a lower step through, makes it easier to get on and off the bike. They also got the new Denago hunting e-bikes in for turkey season, so check those out. Big selection, 50 e-bikes charged up and ready to take a ride at any point at Adventure Earth Bicycles, where mine comes from. Go check out the whole selection. And if you want to get a non-e-bike, 400 of those bikes in stock at any time. See them right there at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris. Online, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. And go check my social media feeds if you want to see a look. I had some ducks on the back of it the other day, trucking them out on the e-bike. That was a good thing. All right, I also mentioned last week when we got the news of the passing of Dr. Bob Shipp, I said we'd get to interviews on and people to talk about the legacy of Dr. Shipp and what a great place to go. My buddy, he is director of CCA Alabama, Blakely Ellis. Usually you hear him on the outdoor show. You don't get on midday much, man.
No, that's right.
So you've broken through.
That's right, yeah.
So first of all, I guess to the new people in town or people who hadn't paid attention to this, CCA, what are y'all? What y'all do?
Coastal Conservation Association, and We primarily work, the quickest way to explain it would be we're not unlike the other like hook and bullet groups like Wild Turkey Federation and Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, and that we work to make sure that the resource is in good shape, it's being managed properly, access
maintenance. That resource being the fish, the environment.
Yeah, yep. And, even more so, those other organizations are a little bit differently than how we have to operate because there's a commercial sector. There's dollars attached to fish, sure, and fisheries, and with that comes lots and lots of
it is different. I mean, you think about pressures. That situation in the world of saltwater fish that's not faced by anything. There's some limited, obviously, commercial in the freshwater world, mm-hmm, but nothing like saltwater. And mm-hmm, then you look at, you just went through the list of ducks and turkey and elk and everything else. There's not a commercial harvest
right,
there.
Right.
So, yeah, it is different.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's clear as day because it's managed through the Department of Commerce.
And
yeah. It's not U.S. Fish and Wildlife. It's managed through the Department of Commerce. And so that pretty well proves that it's dollars do matter, and there is a commercial sector, and because of that, we have to be extra vigilant and work hard to make sure that we're not getting shut out of things, and that things are done fairly. And that's really a segue to Dr. Shipp. He recognized early on that if this is going to be managed through the Department of Commerce, those management techniques aren't going to always work. Really rarely will they work for recreational fishermen. And with that, the need to understand it, and the first part of coming to a solution is accepting it, understanding it, and then, looking at some creative outside the box solutions to manage the manage the resource, and that was not a very popular path for people within the fisheries management world and research to take. So he was at the forefront of kind of pushing back and opened the door for a lot of progress we've made today.
Yeah, it's so amazing to have, you know, you grow up with stuff and you take it for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just how it is. So the fact that, you know, like Dolphin Island Sea Lab, mm-hmm. right? There's this Sea Lab. Like, yeah, it's awesome, this Sea Lab, but people don't realize how significant, how rare something like the Sea Lab is that mm-hmm. we have here. And then you grow up like me, and there's this guy, Dr. Bob Shipp, you know, and he's a teacher, he's an author. He's a guy that will stop not just to talk to scientists, but to fish freaks like me as a kid,
right?
You know,
because he did fish. He was an angler.
Yeah, so get him started talking about pompano fishing. You could go on for days mm-hmm. with him. So it was very cool that he could be at the top of the game in the science world, but also speak regular language
and
talk to people that were just as passionate mm-hmm. about the fish, but maybe coming at it from a different perspective. Yeah. And you grow up around that, and you think, well, everybody's got a Dr. Shipp. No, they don't. No, they don't. So, I mean, it's a special thing that we sit back and look at his legacy and go, how lucky we were. Maybe we didn't realize how lucky we were at the time.
Yeah. And it, I was talking to Dr. Powers last week when he shared the news with me, and, you know, he told me straight up that he wouldn't be at South Alabama if it were not for Dr. Shipp. Mm-hmm. Dr. Shipp said, give me a couple of years, you know, trust me, come in here. And he said he did. And so, you know, it's like the giving tree. I mean, it continues to go. And I went back and looked at some of our old archives at CCA. So we used to be called GCCA, Gulf Coast Conservation Association.
Right. Before y'all got nationwide.
That's right. And I went back to our archives to pull it out, because I've been the director for 10 years. And before that, I was volunteered for 5 or 6 years. So I'm 40 years old. Right. CCA Alabama is 41 years old, so I would always hear bits and pieces, and they used mm-hmm. to say that Dr. Shipp was the executive director for a number of years, and I never stopped to find out exactly when that was, and I'd talk to him about it. I would reach out to him to get his advice and stuff, and so I dug through some archives and some of the old notes and whatnot, and he was our executive director from 1989 to 1995. And then after that, he continued with us as our official state marine scientist. And then, you know, I was looking at some of the things that we accomplished early on, and they rolled off my accomplishments sheet, because I try to keep it all in like one letter sheet.
Yeah.
And I started looking at it.
We call the business a one sheeter. You like to hand people a one sheeter.
So some of the things that I was looking at that would be in Bob's reports, his notes were. Like the saltwater fishing license bill that we got behind and helped put together to establish, you know, saltwater a fishing license.
And that was what year? Do you remember?
92.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, 92, and made sure that it was, you know, those funds were protected. And
right.
We don't have time to talk about all the sport fish restoration funds and whatnot that we are able to access and use because of that, the way that was set up. But things like that, the game fish status for speckled trout and redfish in 1984.
Yeah, that was a big, big deal. Folks who don't, they can even actually look at Mississippi now where they don't have mm-hmm. those protections,
yes.
What that meant here.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because he served on the, not only 27 years on the Gulf Council, he served on the Alabama's Conservation Advisory Board mm-hmm. for, I haven't even seen the number of years if we tallied all those up, but I can assure you it's at least 27 years probably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like tarpon became a game fish in 1993. That was with the help of Dr. Shipp. And I got a kick out of this one in one of his reports. And it's 1996, banned gill nets in Old River.
That was the start of it.
That was just one that struck me, because I live down there in Orange Beach,
right.
And I fish in Orange Beach. And to just think that, like, you know, gill nets running across Old River, that must have been a slaughter fest.
Yes. Yeah, and there were a lot of contentious times out there in this. And, like, there are when you've got different forces at work, and you've mm-hmm. got a commercial side.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, before, you know, recreational for hire was together with recreational. It wasn't separated, but mm-hmm. you had commercial or recreational.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the value of the seafood industry here, just did with Representative Chip Brown, but also you can look at what the recreational value is. But, you know, here you had Dr. Shipp. Here's a guy, his job was a science, mm-hmm. but he's also an angler that enjoyed catching a fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that brought those two worlds together. Yeah. I mean, he had to manage the fish for the benefit of all the people of Alabama, but then he
Yeah, knew he was what not it, a knew how much fun and yeah. was only going to, you know, argue one side. He was right. very good about being real and realistic, and you know it. And he did have a gift of translating some of this really complex yes. management information and putting it into bite-sized pieces that made it easier for the regular anglers and regular people to understand. And, you know, Dr. Powers is really good at that.
Yep. They and, both had that same gift.
Yeah, in that world, in that space, it's very rare. And so, you know, we used to say it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but now it's even more so true that, you know, we have to continue to make sure that we have the next doctorship, the next Dr. Powers
yep.
in the system, in the pipeline.
But USA Marine Sciences has set itself oh, yeah. up to do yes. that, to be, yep. and that's, I mean, the crazy thing, think about this brand we have mm-hmm. here, and we have, out of the Gulf states, we have the shortest coastline.
Right, yeah.
Yep. And we have, but we have the biggest names.
Biggest names, that, you know, the artificial reefs.
Yeah.
He was part of all of that, getting yeah. the tanks and getting the roads to reefs. And
y'all
the
think about
to
that.
Reefs and the,
stuff you're fishing now yeah. and been fishing your whole life.
Yep. Yep. And he was, his fingerprints are everywhere, and it's going to take me a little while, but I'm definitely going to, I'm going to start, you know, if anybody has pictures or, mm-hmm. or stories, if they want to send them, but I'm going to start compiling this because there's too many things that I think are neat and special that just because we may have taken them for granted, that I want to make sure it's documented all the ways he did impact us. And, you know, we were lucky enough to, you know, when his wife, Linda, passed away a few years mm-hmm. ago, when we found out that, we immediately, you know, our state board put together, and we committed the first $10,000 for the Linda and Bob Shipp undergrad research scholarship there at South Alabama. And then in late 2022, we actually recategorized. We had been giving to their graduate student fund, because that was actually, Dr. Bob told me early on when I asked him how can we best help, and he said the graduate students, that fund that they use to travel, to go to conferences, to mm-hmm. work on their thesis, he said that fund year after year is most depleted, and it's empty, you know, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said anything you can give to that would be great. And so in late 2022, we took those funds that we would normally give to that, about $20,000 per year, and renamed that the CCA SHIP Sportfish Research Graduate Student Fund. And so we're able to continue to make sure worthy projects get funded with the help of Dr. Powers, to make sure we can have that next doctorship, Dr. Powers, in the pipeline. But
this for sure. I want to do this. We'll go to break talking with Blake Leolis from CCA Alabama. And one of the things, too, that puts this as part of the fabric of our lives is Dr. Bob Shipp, is this thing that's in so many homes. You walk in, it's on a coffee table. They've got it. And it's, I guess, it is part of the, and maybe is it beyond here, right? If you went into Florida, Mississippi, and Louisiana, they'd have that same book as well. But Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico is just one of those works, one of those things you walk in somebody's house and see it and go, okay, you're my kind of people. You brought in some copies. You have an autographed copy?
Yes, I've got one okay. Copy signed by Dr. Shipp.
Let's do this, because I think it's pretty special, y'all. This is an amazing thing. Blakely has brought this in, and we can give this away.
Yes, yep.
Okay, so let's do this to caller number 6 right now at 343-0106, autographed by the now late Dr. Bob Shipp. Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico. Caller number 6 at 343-0106. We got your book. We'll come back and more of our discussion about the legacy of Dr. Bob Shipp with Blake Leolis from CCA.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along, and congratulations to Jennifer. Jennifer just picked up the autographed copy of Dr. Bob Shipp, the Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico, and provided by Blake Leolis with CCA Alabama. Thank you. It's just one of those books. It makes me happy to see other people have those books in their house, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, by CCA, because Dr. Shipp, he yeah. donated us all the rest of his copies about 5 years ago asked me if I'd be interested in moving him out of his warehouse because we were tired of collecting sales tax from every state in the country. And I probably stuttered and said, "Where's the address again?" And I'll be there like right away.
Yeah, I'm already there.
Yeah. So
can people who Jennifer won her copy, but if people want to purchase, do these show up in the auctions or?
No, but they are in the auctions, and I need to figure out a way to have more of a storefront where people can pick them up outside of the auction. So if they want to follow us on social media and we'll make sure one way or the other that people can purchase these, because I'm not sure what's going to happen after these come through, but we've got some boxes of them back at the office, a handful of them that Dr. Shipp signed for us. And so, and this is the second edition, the color pictures, color mm-hmm. images, you have to ask Dr. Powers if he might pick it up and maybe do a third edition with some updates or something.
Yes.
That'd be really neat.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sean, if you're listening out there, Dr. Powers, he'll be on. And by the way, he joins us on Friday for a discussion as well here on Midday Mobile. So, Blakely, we're talking about the legacy of Dr. Shipp, and big part of that, of course, is the not only bringing attention nationally to our area, but globally to the world's largest, let me get it right, in case I have some JCs come up here. It's off the top of my head, y'all. The world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right, JCs? Dr. Shipp was the way Dr. Powers now. They just are emblematic right there along with the JCs in this.
Yep, yep. They're getting their hands dirty, and the experience that it's really neat, because it's not like they're up on the sitting in the air conditioning calling down the orders. They're
in the trenches, man,
and that's where those young students get in there and get their hands dirty and gross and figure things out.
Yeah. But what's so cool about it, once again, like I said, you grow up here, and it's like, yeah, we got Dr. Shipp. It's just this thing that you're used to. You don't mm-hmm. realize how big it is till you step back and see. Same thing with the rodeo. Grew up fishing the rodeo, still fish the rodeo. Mm-hmm. I'm 51 now, still part of the rodeo, and to look at the amount of information, I always thought, okay, it's cool. There's some science stuff going on. I guess that was my, hey, man, there's some science stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But then to realize that this system here that is, number one, the JCs are a charity group. They are raising money for local charities, putting on an amazing party. But the amount of science that's done here that you talk to Dr. Powers about it. I mean, he'll tell you, he's like, there's no place in the world that you have anglers volunteer to go get you all these samples of the biggest of the different species.
That's right. And it's, that's one of the things that we do with CCA is we work to make to bridge that gap between the science and the anglers. And whether it's, if they need data, then, things like our fish tagging program comes into play, and mm-hmm. being that middleman between the two, because you can't expect a scientist to stay current and working on the research, and if they need to catch fish, to go out and catch fish,
and
vice versa. So it that's one of the roles that we thrive in, is really being that middleman between the two and connecting people, connecting the dots. It's really neat, and you're right. It's between the history of the rodeo and all of the students and, that have come through there and worked their way through South Alabama and the Sea Lab down there. It's pretty special.
All over the planet right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their students come through Sea Lab. They're all over the planet right now. But yeah, it's once again, it's this thing. It's like this rodeo and the research and the book and is Sea Lab that we just take as part of the fabric of our lives here, but we need to, we go through this thing where it's getting, it's Mardi Gras season now, and we're paying attention to what makes us different, makes us special around here, and this is definitely a world of things that makes us special and different right here on the Alabama Gulf Coast, that this doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah, I feel confident and good that Dr. Bob knew how we felt, and he felt the love from everybody, so I have no regrets. Certainly going to miss him. He was just an awesome guy. But he was just an awesome larger than life. He was just a legend. He was a legend. And to have a legend within the marine science and research, that just, it doesn't come along that very often. And it took me a number of years to stop calling him Doctor when I'd talk to him, because he would always get on to me and he would say, please don't just call me Bob.
Call me Bob.
So
his trademark hat. And,
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, he will be missed, but there is, there's a whole community of people here and abroad that appreciate his legacy. If people want to get more information about what you're doing at CCA, how do they find you?
CCAalabama.org, and then follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And then we'll get you set up with our emails and whatnot.
Okay. And I'm going to put him on the spot, but I know the answer. You're going to be be with me at the boat show, right? You're going to come on?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay. We'll be there. We're doing our fish tagging seminars all weekend.
Good deal. That's coming up soon as well. As always, good to see you, man.
Yep. Thanks, John.
All right. I'm out of here. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Talk to y'all tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. And check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Oh, yeah, and by the way, more on chances to win Senior Bowl and Counting Crows tickets coming up tomorrow morning with Dan and Dalton.